Take your Bible tonight and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he, circle it two times, that's somebody ministering something to you. What's he ministering? Ministering to you the Spirit. That's a capital S. And I does it by what? By the hearing of faith. So by faith, I minister the Holy Spirit to you. I do that by faith. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But I just trust it. And by faith, I trust the Holy Spirit has given you something that you should have. So underline, a minister to you the Spirit. That's my job. That's what God wants me to do. Then underline, by the hearing of faith, I do it by faith. How many follow that? I don't see the Holy Spirit doing it, but I'm trusting He is. Amen. All right, now you got a cross-reference there in the margin of your Bible. Write down 2 Corinthians 3, 6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. And Bob tried to show me about this, and so I'm going to give you a little more that he showed me a little more on it that I didn't give you last time. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. That's why I want you to ask questions, because I want to get something from you. Not just me giving it to you, but you give me something also. Now, Bob, give this to me. Now, here we go. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament. So the New Testament is what we're basically given is the New Testament. Not of the letter. Now, I went to this cross-reference. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. This was my cross-reference. 2 Corinthians 7:8. You can write it in the margin of your Bible, but that's where I went. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and pick up verse 8. Now mark your Bible. Turn to it. Mark it with a pen or a pencil. All right. 2 Corinthians 7:8 says, for though I made you sorry, with a what? With a what? With a letter. With a letter. So go. Keep your hand right there. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, letter. They match each other. Letter, letter. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 7. Let's read a little bit further. I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle, underline the word, draw back to the word letter. So an epistle is what? It's Scripture. So right in the margin of your Bible, that epistle is Scripture. That's what it is. It's Scripture. So I said to myself, the letter is Scripture. The letter is Scripture. The letter is Scripture. Well, Bob says, no, that can't be. So I look at it again. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Now let's watch it again. Now there's a word that we got to, that got to stand out. And when it stands out, then I understand it better. Not of the letter being the law. Right. Now, where do I get that from? Turn to Romans chapter 7, pick up verse 6. Romans 7:6. So which one am I going to go to? Am I going to go to 2 Corinthians 7:8, or am I going to go to Romans 7:6? I'm going to go to Romans 7:6. So take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 7, pick up verse 6, and watch the letter there, Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The letter matches the law there in the verse. So letter there is going to be the law. Now, how would I know that thing's going to fit? All right, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then you'll see why it has to be the law and not Scripture. Not Scripture. Because if you make it to Scripture, you've done a bad thing by making it Scripture. And that's what I did. I made it Scripture. And I'll tell you why I made it Scripture. Let's read a little bit further. All right. Not of the letter, that's going to be the law, but of the Spirit. And he's talking about a man preaching of the Holy Spirit, and that's a small S. Now, how many have a Bible with a capital S right there? Anybody got a Bible with a capital S instead of a small S? Do you have a capital S right there? Okay, in 2 Corinthians, yes, it's my Spirit. It's my Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, and it's my Spirit. And here it's a small S. Now, some of these new modern Bibles have got the idea they're going to change the word small S to a capital S. That's a bad mistake, because then you don't get the understanding of the verse. And I got a couple Bibles in my office where they changed the small S to a capital S. Yeah, instead of the Holy Spirit, instead of your Spirit. Now, if you change that to Holy Spirit, you lose the whole understanding of the verse, because the understanding of the verse is the man's spirit has to be right, or he doesn't bring forth life like he ought to, because his spirit's not right. If you get a bitter spirit, you're in trouble. If you get a proud spirit, you're in trouble. Now let's keep watching. Let's read a little bit further. You'll see it. All right. For the letter, the law, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Does your Spirit give life? Does your Spirit give life? Or, no, not your Spirit. Your Spirit don't give life. It's the Holy Spirit and your Spirit come out. When your Spirit comes out with the Holy Spirit, it gives life. The Holy Spirit gives the life. Say amen. Holy Spirit gives the life. That's what made them change the word from a small S to a capital S, because they say, well, it gives life, so that's got to be the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's a small S. So when your spirit's wrong, you don't bring forth life. It's when your spirit's right and the Holy Spirit comes out, then you bring forth life. Now, how many understand what I'm saying? Now go to the next verse. And it'll show you something. All right, in the next verse, verse 7. But if through the ministration of death, written, engraved in what? Stone. What's that? Turn to Exodus chapter 31. Look at verse 18. You'll see what it is. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. And you know, graven in stone, you know what that is. Well, you folks already know what it is, but you want to have a cross reference. That's Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Turn to it and read it. Exodus 31 and verse 18 says, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, what? Written with the finger of God. What is that? That's the first scripture. That's the first scripture ever written, is when God took his finger and wrote on those two tables of stone. So what is written on the tables of stone? Scripture. So in my mind, I'm saying scripture. That's scripture. That's what that is. Now go back and you'll see why that can't be so. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 7, we'd say that's scripture. Written, engraved upon stone. Was glorious. Well, it's written with God's finger. No wonder it's glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was what? Now here's the key to it. Glory which was what? Done away. Is the scripture done away with? Folks, is the scripture done away with? No. What's done away with? The law. So done away. Draw a line back up there to the word letter. The law was done away with. The law is not in the New Testament. The law is not in the New Testament. It's done away with. The scripture not done away with. Say amen. Amen. So underline it right there. It is done away. The Mosaic law is not for the New Testament Christian. You're not to keep the Sabbath. Now show a Seventh-day Adventist that verse. There it is. That shows you it's not scripture. It's the law. Now skip down to verse 11 and watch it again. Right in the middle of verse 11. For if that which was done away, that's the law. Can't be the scripture. Now, okay, see it a third time. Last word in verse 13. Abolished. So you got it how many times? Three times. Done away with in verse 7. Done away with in verse 11. And abolished in verse 13. What is abolished? Not the scripture. What? The Mosaic law is not for a Christian. You're not under keeping the Sabbath. But if you make that scripture, then it would say, done away with. Scripture's done away with. Scripture's done away with. And Christians said, oh, good, I didn't want to read the Old Testament anyway. Somebody follow me. How many of you have gotten all those names of the Old Testament and go, oh, man, I don't, I've never read the Old Testament because there's too many names. Shame on you. Shame on you if you've never read the Old Testament. There's something bad wrong. You better read the Old Testament. God wrote the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. It's His book. Make sure you read the Old Testament. Even if you can't pronounce them, do what I do sometimes. I just do like that real quick and keep on going. But you know what I got on conviction about? And the Lord says, I want you to read and get you where you hear that name come in. So I got on my iPad, I've got a thing where I can listen to every single name and I try to pronounce the names right. So when maybe it sticks in there and I've got it right eventually. Say amen. Amen. All right. Now, how many will follow that? So right there in the margin of your Bible, write Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2:14. Turn to the verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. And write it somewhere either by verse 7 or by verse 11 or by verse 13. Abolish would be good right there by abolish. Colossians, I'll get there in a second. I'm using this Bible that fell off of my car. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. It's done away with. It's abolished. What is? The Mosaic law. Now verse 15. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. No, that's chapter 1. I want chapter 2, verse 2:14. I'll get there in a minute. Here it is. Blotting out the handwritingness of ordinances. Blotting out the handwritingness of ordinances. There it is. Old Testament Mosaic, Levitical law, done away with. Which is against us, which is contrary to us. Underline it. Nailing it. Taken out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There it is, underline it. Nailing it to the cross. A Christian is not under the Mosaic law. That's for the Old Testament. That's not for a Christian. How many see it? Say amen. Amen. So there's what you want to have. Now, let me give you an ad lib. Every now and then I lab ad lib. Somebody else asked me another question. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. Somebody asked me a question about this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now take your Bible there and turn to it. I was up at where? Nickel Charlie's. No, this was way back when I was going to that place that you walk around in a circle, just right up the road here. The summit, not the summit. The summit's way over there. This little one that's on the way up there. And yes. Anyway, I was there walking around. Some guy said, "There's the man of God. There's the man of God." And I thought, "Man of God? What are you calling me the man of God for?" And I went home, and I started telling the man of God. He's twice in the New Testament, and he's a whole bunch of times in the Old Testament. Now here we go. 2 Timothy 3:17. How many are in 2 Timothy chapter 3? And now let's read verse 17. 3:17. That the man of God, underline it, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished and to all good works. There's a man of God. All right. Now, what is connected with the man of God? The verse in front of it. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What is the man of God connected with? He's connected with what? This book right here. If he does not love this book, he's not a man of God. And that's to anybody. That's any man in this room could be a man of God. Now, how many of all that say amen? That's the man of God. He's connected with Scripture. Who could that be? Anybody. Any one of you. And even the ladies, I'm sure. Come on. It'd be the ladies. Anybody could be a man of God. All right. Now, the other time, go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and pick up verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, 11. So when that guy said to me, there goes the man of God, I thought to myself, you ain't a man of God if you don't love the Scripture. You're kidding yourself. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And watch the other time, two times in the Bible, and only two times. 1 Timothy 6, 11. But thou, O man of God, see there, man of God. Now, if a guy's going to be a man of God, this is the second time. Thou, man of God, flee these things. Now, draw a line back up to verse 10 right in front of it. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Say amen. So if a man loves money, is he a man of God? No way. No way, Jose. No way. Now, look at it. Verse by verse. Verse 11, he's a man of God. If he loves money, he's not a man of God. People say this, he's a man of God if he's a preacher. Who's the love of money aimed at? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Who's that aimed at? Everybody. Me and everybody. That includes every man, woman in this building. Say amen. You say, well, he's a preacher, he's a man of God. That don't mean nothing. Say amen. Don't mean he is a man of God. If he loves money, chalk him off. Say amen. You've got to follow that. Okay, back to Galatians now. Back to Galatians. So if you have a question, ask a question. Yes, Bob.
You know, a long time ago you taught on this, and I never did understand it. Now, I don't want to rabbit chase tonight if you want to keep on going. But you know how we're talking about the Spirit here? With the small s?
Yes. That's correct. That's correct.
So why the difference?
You got to get the context. And you got, yeah, but don't change the context. Leave it be. Leave.
What is the rule? Is there a rule?
Now, the rule is, I didn't write the book. That's the rule. God wrote the book. And sometimes he makes a small s. Sometimes it should be the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not. You have to determine. It's called right dividing the Word of God. You've got to determine that by rightly dividing and say, this thing's got to be a small s, can't be a capital S, and if you change it, you mess up completely. Don't change it.
Well, like in Genesis 6:3, he says the Spirit of God, he's talking about, you know, in the time where he's going to bring the flood, but it says the Spirit of God, can't remember how it says, but it's Genesis 6:3, but it's a small s.
Yeah, that's right. So leave it be. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is. You got to determine that. Sometimes God lets you determine things on your own. There's no private interpretation to the Scripture. I was out in Ohio, and I got a guy that preaches, that writes Bibles, and he prints thousands of Bibles, and big Bibles, beautiful Bibles, and nice Bibles. And he said, I'm going through, and I'm going to change all the small s's to capital s's in the Bible I'm getting ready to print. I said, that's a tragic mistake. And he said, it is. I said, yes. And you go through there, and sometimes that's the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's not. You can't do that. And he said, I'm gonna. And he said, well, Brother Bemis, will you read through the Bible and tell me every place that that's a small s that should not be changed to a capital S? I said, I will. So I started reading through the Bible, and I got a list of them and I called him on the phone and said, here's this list of all these verses that you don't dare change, even though it's a small s. Because, well, let me give you an example. Take your Bible and, yes.
Didn't one time you tell us that the capital S was the Holy Spirit, and then
The little s sometimes is your own spirit. The Holy Spirit at work. Not always. Not always. Because sometimes sometimes you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to two places. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and pick up verse 18. Go to Ephesians 5:18. And this is the determining factor. Ephesians 5:18. This is the determining factor. Verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. Are you with me? How many are you with me? Mark it in your Bible. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with what?
Wine.
Then what do they call that? They call it spirits. You know why? Because it produces a certain kind of spirit, and they don't even know it. If you get drunk, you know something, you'll produce a spirit that you don't even know you're producing. And it's the wrong spirit. It ain't the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit alone. And that's not what you want. My spirit won't do anything. But my spirit with the Holy Spirit will do something. Say amen. Holy Spirit, that'll do something. That'll get the job done. That'll bring forth life. Now read the rest of the verse. All right. Wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. So you're filled with the Spirit, then you're not. You're filled with the Spirit, then you're not. You're filled with the Spirit. What makes you not filled with the Holy Spirit? You sin. You grieve the Holy Spirit. But he don't leave. He's still there. He just won't do his work. You can lose a lot, an awful lot. You're witnessing something, nobody, no power. You're reading your Bible, no understanding. The Holy Spirit doesn't do the work he wants because he's been grieved. How many of you follow that? Say amen. But what you want, this is what you... Take your Bible, turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians and turn to Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 15. Philippians 1:15. Now turn to the verse and mark it. Philippians 1:15. Now here's... A man can have, he can be a preacher, and I'm going to pick up a preacher, Philippians 1, and you're with me on verse 15. How many are with me? Mark your Bible or go slow. Turn to it and mark your Bible. This is a preacher, and he's not filled with the Holy Spirit, not filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Some indeed... Preach, what do they preach? Christ. They preach Christ. Some indeed preach Christ, even of, what's that next word? Envy. So he's getting up and he envies that guy right there. Just pure envy. Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Mark in your Bible. That's his own spirit. Now mark it. But he's preaching, what's he preaching? Christ. He's preaching Jesus Christ. All right, now let's keep going. And what's the next word? Strife. Nailed you, buddy. How many of you follow it? See that? Now, let's go a little bit further. And some also for goodwill. So the first two are bad. The third one, that's goodwill. That's the right preacher. How many follow it? Say amen. You with me? You follow that? Now, verse 16. And one preached Christ for contention. Oh, it's just nothing but an argument. Contention. How many of you see that? Circle the word. Is the motive right? No, the motive's not right. It's envy, strife, and contention. The motive ain't right and the spirit ain't right. Keep going. Contention. Not, what's that next word? Sincerely. He's an actor. Phony. It's not sincere. How many of you follow that? But what's he preaching? Preaching Jesus Christ. Amen? You follow that? Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other guy's preaching for what? For love. Got the right motive. It should be love. If you don't love people, you can say you love people. That don't mean you love them. You got to love them. Love them for what they are, not for what you want them to be. Write it down. You love people for what they are, not for what you want to be. You don't pick and choose who you love. You love them. You love them. Say amen. Now keep going. Knowing that I am set forth the defense of the gospel. What then? We're standing. Every way. That's both of them. The evil and the strife and the contention and the goodwill and the love. Either way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore rejoice and will rejoice. Now, somewhere in there, I think it has the word gospel. There it is at the end of verse 17. Underline the word gospel. So what gospel is that? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the preacher gets up. He ain't filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just envy and everything else. Gives an invitation. And the guy out there says, man, today's my day of salvation. Jim Scribner. I was preaching. I was going to preach an invitation on Sunday morning. And Jim said, I'm going to get saved today. I don't care what he preaches on. And I don't even remember what I preached on. But Jim Scribner got up and come down that aisle and got saved. And I said, well, Jim, you already been saved. He said, well, I didn't think so. I think you conned me. I think you conned me. And I said, well, I didn't. But he said, well, I think you did. And so what's it? What is it? Here's a guy that's got the wrong motive. Envy, strife, and contention. And the guy back there says, I'm getting saved. Comes down, gets saved. Does he get saved? Sure he does. Paul says, if you preach Jesus Christ and preach the gospel, I'm a happy camper. Now, how many follow what Paul just said? Why? Because he preached Jesus Christ and preached the gospel. The preacher's motive was wrong, but not the guy out there sitting there and walking the aisle. His motive was right. So God saves him, just like that. Or walking out in the parking lot, or upside down in a well, or in the hospital, or down at the thing, he gets saved. So what is it? It depends on the guy himself. It depends on the individual. This guy says, oh, I don't believe that. He walks away. Other guy says, I need to get right with God. I need to get saved. I'm getting saved. I don't care what anybody says. Down the alley he goes, and he gets saved. How many follow that? That's what you want to get. All right, back to Galatians now. The Holy Spirit, and leave the small s is what it is, and the capital S what it is. Don't go like this guy's doing and changing them all the way through. And you'll make a tragic mistake in doing it. You'll leave them alone. And you got to rightly divide it. Why did the Lord do that? To make you study. To make you study. Make it hard for you. Make you study. Make you get down there and dig and dig and dig. Could have God have wrote the Bible like a third grade reader? Couldn't he have? Why'd he do that? You'd read one time, set on a shelf, and you'd never read it again.
I thought maybe you could just give us the answer. We would have to study some
more. What if I give you the wrong answer, like I did last week? You know what I learned? I learned from other people. I learned from other people. You give me something I didn't get. I didn't get it the first time around. Well, you do. You ask people. If you don't ask people, you don't learn as much as you can learn by it. You learn by that. I don't think your people are stupid. I appreciate your questions and your answers. I want you to ask me. I don't think you're stupid. I think you may be smarter than I am. Maybe dumb as I am, too. No, who knows? Come on. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go on to the next thing. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Verse 6 now. Even as Abraham believed God. Even as Abraham believed God. Now this is what I want you to write down. I want you to, Abraham believed God. I'm going to go back to Noah. Noah believed God. Abraham believed God. And I and you believe God. You and I believe God. Noah built God. Noah believed God. What did God tell Noah to do? What did God tell Noah to do? Build an ark. Did he tell me to build an ark? But I believe God. That's where they're like, that's what he's getting ready to say right here. Abraham believed God. Abraham's not believed like I'm saved. He's not saved like me. Because God told him different than he told me. Did God tell Noah that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross of Calvary and that he was crucified and was buried and rose in 3 days? Is that what the ark stands for? Come on, come on, come on. You know better than that. You know people will do that. They'll say the ark is a picture of Jesus and he got, get aboard Jesus. No, somebody lost their mind. No, these are preachers that are doing that. These are preachers that are doing that. And they're sincere, and everybody says, oh, yeah, he was saved just like I'm saved. That's not the case. Take your Bible, and let's take, you know that's an easy one. Say amen.
Yeah.
Noah's easy. Take Abraham. Let's take Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 15, pick up verse 5 and 6. Genesis 15. Now, Abraham believed God. That's what he just said there in Galatians. He said, Abraham believed God. Now, Genesis, right in the margin of your Bible, Genesis 15. Now, if you have any questions, I want you to ask them. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. And pick up where it says in verse 6. Let's get verse 6. And he believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. That's exactly what Galatians says, written by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. And as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How many follow it? Say amen. Now let's read the verse in front of it and see what God said to Abraham. Verse 5. And he brought him forth into broad and said, look now towards heaven. He says, get out of the tent, Abraham. Go out there and look up there and look at all the stars up there. Look at all the stars. So Abraham goes outside of the tent, looks up, and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. Now, did he tell you that? He didn't tell you that, so he told Abraham. Abraham's not saved like you're saved. He isn't. The point is, Abraham believed God. That's the point he's making. Abraham believed God. Did you believe God when you got saved?
Amen.
He told you that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and if you'll receive Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. See, he told you something different than he told Abraham. How many follow that? So what Paul is doing is just using this fact right here, where Abraham believed God. So we're all, Noah believed God. So that's alike, they match. So you and I do what? We believe God. But I'm told something different than Abraham's told and Noah's told. See what I'm saying? In the tribulation, it's the same way. Man has to believe God, but he's told something different. How many follow what I'm just saying? So this is the point that he's making. Abraham believed God. So in that point, we're saved alike. But just in that point, not in the rest of it. All right, back to Galatians chapter 3 now and verse 6. For as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. All right, know ye therefore that which we are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now right there, you've got to get that. We are the children of Abraham spiritually, not physically. Now, if you read that and stop right there, some guys will make the mistake saying, well, we're the Jews now and we get all those things spiritual right now. No, you don't. You're a spiritual Jew, not a physical one. Now, take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 3. And this time, look what it says. Let's pick up verse 27, 28, and 29. You're a spiritual Jew. You're not a physical Jew. You can't take the promises aimed at a physical Jew and apply them to yourself. A lot of people do. They're called postmillennialists. Those are Episcopalians and Lutherans will make that mistake. Galatians chapter 3 and pick up verse 26. We went over this, but we'll go over it again. For ye are all children of God. Is everybody a child of God? No, they're not. But ye are all children of God. Read the rest of the verse. By faith in Christ Jesus. You can't stop there. You got to read the whole verse. Faith in Christ Jesus. Now watch it. For many of you have been baptized. Is that water or is that spirit? That spirit, that's not water. How do you know? Into Christ, having put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. Neither is there bond nor free. Neither is there what? Male nor female. Is there male and female? Of course there is. Got to be out of your mind to think they're the same. Some people are nutty. We got a lot of nuts in the world today. A male and female. Well, boy, you could sure twist the Bible, couldn't you? Just take that right out. Take those two things out there and see whether that proves my point. No, it proves you're out of your mind. All right. Now read. Go back. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Is there Jew and Greek outside of Christ?
Yes.
Yes, there is. There's a Jew and there's a Greek outside of Christ. There is neither bond nor free. Is there a slave and a free man? Yes, there is. There absolutely are, but not in Christ. There is neither male nor female in Christ, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now watch it. And if ye be Christ, then you're what? There it is. Underline it. You're what? Abraham's seed. Well, what's that talking about? It's talking about spiritual seed. So you're a spiritual Jew.
Amen.
You're a spiritual Jew. Now, underline it. There it is. So somebody says, I'm not a Jew. You're a spiritual one. You're a spiritual one. But you can't take the physical Jew, take all his promises promised to Jew, and say they're mine. That's what a lot of folks will do. And they're here today, and they're messing up. So if you meet somebody who says, I'm a spiritual Jew, you say, no, you perverted the word of God. You are a spiritual Jew and not a physical one. Now, one more, and then we'll quit. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans and go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, watch this thing about being a spiritual Jew and not a physical Jew. If a fellow says he's a Jew, in fact, there's a verse in the book of Revelation where a fellow says he's a Jew and he's not. He's of the synagogue of Satan. But let's get this one right here. Romans chapter 2, and let's pick up verse 27. Romans 2:27. I'll give you a chance to get there. Romans 2:27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if fulfill the law, judge thee, who by letter and circumcision doest transgress the law? For he is a Jew, now underline it, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly of the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one what? Inwardly. Yes, but what kind of Jew? Said a Jew, but inwardly. The circumcision is of that of the heart, and in a spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. That's a spiritual Jew is a Christian. He's a spiritual Jew. Now, how do you know that's not a physical Jew? Read the next verse in chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the what? Jew. There's the physical Jew. The spiritual Jew, which is a Christian, verse 28 and 29, that's a spiritual Jew. That ain't a physical one. The physical one is in 3:1. Follow that? How many follow it? Say amen. So when somebody says they're a Jew, you say only spiritually. If you're a Gentile and you're saved, then you can say you're a spiritual Jew. Any questions? Any questions? All right. Somebody mark it. Where did we stop at in Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3, verse 7.